As you write your life story, you're far from finished. Are you looking to close the book on your job? Maybe turn a page in your career? Be continued at the Georgetown University School of Continuing Studies. Our professional master's degrees and certificates are designed to meet you where you are and take you where you want to go. At Georgetown SCS, the learning never stops, and neither do you. Write your next chapter. Be continued at scs.georgetown.edu/podcast.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, it's Wendy.
And it's Jess. And you're listening to the Food Heaven Podcast,
your online resource for delicious and nutritious living.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast with Wendy and Jess.
Today we have Carrie Glassman joining us. Carrie is a celebrity dietitian, celebrity cooking expert, and wellness thought leader. She is the founder and CEO of Nutritious Life, a lifestyle and media company devoted to helping individuals discover and live their most nutritious and happiest lives. And she also founded the Nutritious Life Studio, an internationally renowned online platform that provides forward-thinking education to individuals of various backgrounds looking to establish successful careers in the health and wellness industry. Carrie is a Today Show tastemaker and a contributing editor and advisory board member for Women's Health magazine. She's the author of 4 best-selling books and is regularly featured on national television programs like The Today Show and Good Morning America, and is the nutrition contributor for The Rachel Ray Show. The reason why we love Carrie is because she provides accessible, science-backed, healthy living advice that extends beyond food and diet. She talks about sleep, stress. She talks a lot about diets, and she really does a great job debunking them. So we're really excited to have her on. Welcome to the podcast, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. You two ladies are both amazing, and I'm so happy to be chatting with both of you.
Yay. We're so excited to have you and pick your brain about all things nutrition, media, entrepreneurship. So if you could start off by just telling us a little bit about how you got into the media world, the entrepreneurship world, especially as a dietitian, because a lot of dietitians fresh out of school were always told you have to go into clinical. And it's like, that's so not what you do. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this space.
I'll start with the entrepreneur part and then go into the media part. But well, I think the entrepreneur part, just to, before I even get into how it actually happened for me, I think it's a little bit in your blood for some people. And so I am not saying that if it sort of doesn't come naturally, that you can't become that. You 100% can. And it can become something, I think, learned. But I think for some people, it's just a little bit like in your blood. Like you just, I feel like I always, like looking back, even like in my subconscious, I feel like when I thought about what I was going to do in life, even if it didn't relate to nutrition when I was a kid, I feel like there was, when I think back to the way I thought, I always felt like I had a little bit of that entrepreneurial thing in me. But like I said, I think for anybody out there, you 100% can learn it if you don't think it's, you know, kind of in you, especially now. There's so many incredible resources to learn from. But anyway, so I think I had that. And then I think when I finished my master's, I started working before I'd gone back to get my master's. I had worked in advertising, sales, and marketing at Sports Illustrated. And when I was there, I had learned a whole bunch of different skills. But then from there, I got my master's in clinical nutrition. And then from there, I said, I was looking at a few different jobs, and this job opportunity kind of fell in my lap. And it was with a startup business, an online startup business, actually. And this was, you know, before the first big sort of internet crash. And I was hired to do nutrition and fitness programs online and do some nutrition writing. So I was working for this company, but at the same time, as I mentioned, since it was a startup business, I ended up using, the reason I brought up the Sports Illustrated thing was, I think they'd hired me because I had the nutrition degree, but I also had some of this more business background, like a little teeny bit of it. I only worked there for a couple of years as an assistant, but a couple of years of that background in business. And so I think they hired me to do a little bit of everything. And it ended up, though, that I ended up doing a lot more business than I did nutrition. So when I left there, I said, you know, I really like, I want to do nutrition. I want to counsel people. I want to work with people. I want to help people. I want to save the world. You know, like I wanted to do all that. So what I did was I started my private practice. But what that 2 years of working at the startup business did for me was it really helped me learn a couple things. Well, more than a couple things, but a couple buckets of things. The first bucket is just a whole bunch of business skills, all kinds of business skills, from learning about licensing to looking at even, you know, basic contracts to even learning how to, you know, how to be in sales to some extent, how to write certain types of professional emails. I mean, taught me a little bit of everything about business. But the second sort of thing it taught me was, aside from all those individual skills, was it really taught me how to be, I think, just have that go for it sort of fearless attitude when it comes to being an entrepreneur. And like I said, I think it was in me, but it really, working at this startup business, I think really showed me how much people risk and go for it. And, you know, it's okay for things to be unknown and have a passion and go for it. So I think that job was probably, the most helpful thing about that job, or those two things, I should say.
Wow. That sounds so awesome that you had that job to get a good foundation and that you kind of just went for what you wanted to do and made it what you wanted it to be. And I also can agree, like you mentioned the whole entrepreneurial spirit, like you're born with it. I can definitely relate to that. And also even my mom is like that too. So it's nice to know that, like, yeah, if you do have that, it's important to kind of listen to your intuition and hone that. But if you don't, I also liked how you said you can learn it as well. So you are one of the most visible dietitians in the media. I would say you're the gold standard for what people kind of look up to. Yeah, for sure. In nutrition speak. So, but when you first started out, like, can you just address the nerves? Because I know you've done a lot of TV. You're on TV all the time. And I know for people who may want to be there, but, you know, that it's kind of scary for them because they think about, like, being in front of camera. You do a lot of live stuff. Like, how did you deal with that when you first started out, like, that stage fright?
So I said the entrepreneur part, but I didn't get into the media part. So I'm so glad you just followed up with this, because I wanted to actually tell this story, because I think this goes along with sort of the being, you know, really trying to, you have to have a little bit of that fearless go-getter attitude. And I feel like that sounds so cliche, but you do. And I think it goes right along with the media question. And so here's my thought on that. And this might sound too trite, if that's the right word, but it's really what I thought about when I first started and what I still think about when I have certain opportunities that could seem somewhat scary. My thought is always, it's much scarier upsetting to not have this opportunity. That's a worse feeling than the feeling of being fearful doing this. So would I rather feel a little bit, you know, nerves and fear and have this, or would I rather not have this opportunity? It sounds really simple, but I feel like when you think about something like that, it's like, yeah, like I'd rather have this opportunity to be able to go for it and do this than not be in this position at all. And it kind of makes you think, like, you know, who care? Even if you do like your worst, like you're there doing it and you'd rather be doing it than not doing it at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And I feel like it's kind of, like I said, like it's not necessarily the tool that's going to, or maybe it is a tool for some people, but it's not necessarily like something, I don't know, that's so like profound or like the perfect thing you're supposed to do every time before you go on TV. But for me, it does help me in those situations. And I think it helped me early on really think, like, you know, when I would, you know, again, when I would be nervous, it was just like kind of simple like that. Like, I'd rather feel nervous. So it almost makes you, I guess it almost makes you embrace the nerves. That's what it is. It almost kind of embrace them, because you think, you know what, I'm going to like you, nerves. And I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to jump on board with you because I have you, because I'm doing something I really want the opportunity to do. I want to be able to do this. So I feel like you kind of like become friends with your nerves and then it's all good.
Exactly. And I think that for people who are starting out, they might look to dietitians like you who are so good at this, and they kind of overlook that it's been a process, that you've been doing this for so long and you've really been working on cultivating your craft and improving on your craft. So can you speak on to like blooper moments? Like if there's been any times where you're like, oh my God, like you maybe royally slipped up on camera, you said something that you didn't want to say or something like that. And how did you, yeah, like how did that go?
Okay. I mean, I have so many of them. Where do we want to begin? I mean, there are so many. There are like, I mean, there, well, there's probably like, there's this big standouts. I'll give you a few standouts. So, well, one thing, and this isn't a blooper, but this is one of these things that you are like, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened. I will tell you, I was taping The View. I don't even know if I've ever told this story, actually. Well, somewhere publicly, at least. So I was taping The View, and it was, you know, some segments you stand, some segments you sit. This segment, we were standing, and we were actually walking from like a table to another table to another table to another table. And I had the weirdest feeling right before I started. I'd been doing this for a while. This was not even, I mean, this was years ago now, but it was not like the first couple years of doing TV at all. It was definitely a few, 4 or 5 years in probably. And I just felt, I think I had just been feeling, you know, it could have been around the time, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, when I was getting divorced and I had 2 young kids and I was dealing with a whole lot of financial stress. And I think I just had so much going on that I was just not on my game with work as much as I'd like to be. You don't feel as great when you've got all this other just crazy life stuff happening. And I hadn't been on my game. And I think not being on my game with work, like I got like this these nerves and insecurity about it. Like I'm just not good at what I'm doing anymore. Oh my God, I suck. I'm not prepared. I'm not this, like I'm not well rested. I look tired and worn out. Like, you know, I was just like not on my game. And I think though that sort of talk in my head got me all wound up and I just got so nervous. And I think it was with Elizabeth. It was Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Yeah. I'm like remembering the whole thing. I haven't talked about this in so long. Anyway. And I just started talking and I literally just about fainted in front of the whole audience, started to faint.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa. And I literally thought I was going to faint. We stopped filming. That's how much we had to stop. It's like, I literally had to say to her, I was like, I'm going to faint. Like, and I just had to stop. I had to walk out. I got water. I had a little snack. And so it wasn't live television. It was, but they tape. I mean, you ladies probably know that, for anyone out there that doesn't know it, often, even if it's not live, you're live to tape. So you're trying to tape. They're trying to tape a show as if you are live and there is still a big audience.
Right.
So we had to stop. And then, so it was about 5-10 minutes. And then I was like, all right, I really like, I have to go and do this now because I can't, if I like, don't go back on and I mess up this whole show, we got problems. So I had to just like, I don't even know. And obviously I was so embarrassed and I was like, it was just mortifying, but I just sort of, I don't know where I dug deep and I just was like, all right, let me get through this segment. And I ended up, then I did it and I did the segment fine and it ended up being fine. And they were all very nice, but I mean, it was mortifying. And I think probably more mortifying to me, I'm sure other, you know, for all they knew, I was sick. I think maybe I was on the verge of getting sick. For all they knew, I was sick and those things happen. But I think internally, you know, for me, it was more personally mortifying because I think I knew it was just sort of, I was just in a crappy place in life. And I knew it was more from that than it was necessarily, I don't know, being sick or something. So anyway, so that was a crazy thing. Now I know that was kind of related to a personal thing, but it was still the point that you can go on TV and you can, or be taping a big, huge national show like The View and something crazy like that can happen and life moves on and it's all okay. So I don't know. Should I tell you another like story where I said something wrong?
I want to hear it.
Well, yeah. Okay. Go for it. Yeah.
You guys are like, you still need therapy for that.
Oh, it happens.
Like, yeah.
Look at Wendy Williams.
Right. Did you see Wendy when she fainted on the air? Wendy Williams?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh my God, Carrie, you have to watch it. Yeah. It was really scary. And it was, wasn't it live?
Like a couple months ago. Yeah, it was live. And she literally, it was a year ago. It was a Halloween episode. She was dressed up as a Statue of Liberty. And she just fainted. And
she just started like shaking. And then she just collapsed.
Yeah.
Do you know, I never saw that.
Yeah, it was last year.
It was really
so
scary.
She said it was, she overheated in the costume.
Yeah, I'm sure. When you said Statue of Liberty, I was thinking there must have been something like that. Yeah. Wow.
All the lights.
That is crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, I did not hear that. See, I feel so much better. I don't need therapy now.
It
you
happens.
You just fixed me. Thank you, Wendy and ladies.
Yeah.
All right. No, but I will tell you another one that maybe. So I had, there was a time when I was on a Fox show, and what they did was it was live, but then right from the show live, when the segment stopped, the segment went right into live on the web. I don't even know if they still do that or what other shows do that, but I thought the segment had ended, and it had ended for TV, but then the follow-up chatter was going on the web and I had no clue. And one of the hosts I had known for years from doing another show before. So he started joking with me and I was joking back, and I didn't say anything inappropriate. But it was like I think maybe he'd asked me about my kids or something, and I start to, but it was just not, I just basically didn't know I was on air talking. Mm-hmm. And it was not the type of chatter I probably would have had. And it was just, again, it was more one of those, I was totally uncomfortable. And so that type of a thing, I always say, like, until you know for sure you are off, never think you are off camera until you know 100% you are off. That's something. And then, you know, then there was another thing that I get, this is more technical for nutrition. I had said something about, I was explaining, and you know this, when you have to put things into sound bites, you have to put things into consumer language. Which is one of the things I love about nutrition in the media, is taking nutrition science and putting it into, you know, small sound bites that consumers can understand and actually use. So there was a segment we were doing, and it referred to an artificial sweetener. And I referred to the artificial sweetener. I can't remember if it was the blue packet or the pink packet, I said. And then I basically took the science and I broke it down, and I said something. I can't even remember exactly what it was right now, but it was something about what it's doing in your brain. You know, I made some analogy, and I got a letter was written to CBS, and then I had to write a whole apology. And it was, you know, the artificial sweetener, whatever board or lobbying group or whatever, but, you know, I had to respond. But it was more the fear of, oh my God, I said that wrong on CBS. Am I ever going to go on TV again? And did I, you know, use this language too poorly? Was I not, you know, professional enough? And I thought I had done a good job creating a good analogy. So again, though, if you're backed up with all of your science, I felt 100% confident in the science I had. And I sent a good responsive letter with all of that science that I had. And then I had apologized for breaking it down into consumer language that may have been too, you know, tongue in cheek, and everything moved on. So things like that happen, you know, from saying something, from getting a letter, from that, and things like that have happened, you know, probably one or two other times. And I'm trying to think of, like, there's all kinds of examples like that, I guess, from the not knowing you're still on air to the, you know, saying something that somebody's upset, that some organization is upset about, to almost fainting, to, you know, all kinds of things are going to happen. And now I think about it more like, if something happens, it's almost like funny, like it can be funny, not necessarily saying something wrong, like that you get a letter for, but I'm saying if I fudge a word now, I make fun of myself with it, and it's okay. I'm human. Just because I'm talking about, you know, what I love on TV, you know, versus sitting in my living room talking about it, doesn't mean I might fumble a word, and that's totally okay. You know, so I think, like, once you kind of understand that it's really okay to not be perfect when you're doing things, even like live, then I think it really just becomes easier and you get to just be yourself a lot more.
I love that. And I think it really speaks to, like, us as dietitians who tend to be more type A perfectionist personalities. And so I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves. And it's nice. It's refreshing to see, like, if someone like you has gone through, you know, things like potentially fainting or getting a letter from the company that you talked about. I think it's nice that to know that, you know, we too can overcome some of these obstacles, and it's not going to be the end of our career. It's going to be okay.
Wait, sorry. Hold on one sec. Did you guys just hear that? That was the sound of some of the coins that I saved while shopping at Thrive Market. So just in case you don't know about Thrive, Thrive Market is a revolutionary online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and affordable for everyone. To us, it never really made sense that organic products that are better for the environment cost more than their non-organic counterparts. But now, for the first time in history, we can all easily access wholesome alternatives at the same prices or lower. Okay. At Thrive, you can shop for thousands of best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, and you can always expect a 20 to 50% savings below traditional retail prices. They are actually the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries. You can get everything you need at Thrive, from food to snacks, vitamins. They have safe and non-toxic beauty products. Literally, Thrive has it all. And you don't even have to worry about leaving the house. You can stay home and Netflix and chill, because all of your items will be shipped straight to your doorstep. Now, recently, I have been obsessed with the Avalon Organics Nourishing Lavender Conditioner that I found on Thrive, which has brought my natural hair all the way back to life, because literally, y'all, it was on its deathbed. And I know that you're thinking that you don't really need this service because there's always Amazon, but more than 70% of the Thrive Market catalog cannot be found on Amazon. So don't even think you can get the same quality products just anywhere for that same low price. On each product page, you'll see things like why you'll love it, price comparisons to retail, and nutritional ingredients. And many of the products even include the brand's background story and why that product is good for you and your family. So if you're ready to shop smart and save those coins, then go to thrivemarket.com/foodheaven and enjoy a 30-day free trial plus 25% off your entire order. Again, that is Thrive Market, thrivemarket.com/foodheaven, and get that 30-day free trial and 25% off today. Now, back to the episode.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk about, so you mentioned like you love doing these nutrition sound bites, and I think you're really good at that when it comes to addressing the science and making it very accessible to the everyday person. You know, you can talk about things like the keto diet, paleo, intermittent fasting. Does it ever get annoying, though, to have to keep up with literally everything, especially when it comes to diets? Because I am personally, like, I get asked about keto and intermittent fasting literally every day, but there's always something new. So, yeah, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think one, I love staying on top of everything. I mean, that's just sort of, I think, the science nerd in me and the being passionate about nutrition thing in me and the person that's always, you know, thirsty for knowledge. I just think that I love staying on top of, you know, all this nutrition science. And I think it's one thing that's really interesting about nutrition is that because it is such a young science, there is always new research. So I do love that. I wish sometimes I had a little more time to do it, but I do love that. And actually, one thing about bringing it back to the media stuff for a second, sometimes I like doing segments just for the reason that it makes me have to dig deeper into something that I, you know, think I know a lot about, but I have to go make sure and check my facts and what I think, you know, I have to check it. So I sometimes like doing that even for that reason alone. The other part of it, though, that I was going to say, so I like that part of it. But in terms of like being asked about this and or this over and over again, I mean, sometimes when people are asking you, because I'm with you, by the way, I mean, everybody's been asking about keto and intermittent fasting lately. Everybody asks about that. And I think like, you know, sometimes I'll say, you know, so here's like the quick story on it. But then sometimes people just want to keep talking about it. And you're like, this is my 1 hour of the week not to talk about
right.
nutrition. And you're like, can't you go, you know, I'm like, here's the link to my blog.
Yeah.
I just wrote about it. I mean, once in a while you feel like that, you know, on a night, like when it is like Friday night at 10 o'clock and, you know, you know, it's late, but no, I mean, most of the time I don't mind talking about it. And most of the time I love research. I say all the time I like researching, and most of the time I do like talking about it. I mean, I guess the only time is sometimes when there's just a fad that is so ridiculous and people are just so obsessed or committed to it. And you just, you know, get tired of basically saying, oh my God, it's ridiculous. Stop being like, you just want to be able to like flip a switch in their head without having to go through all of the reasons something is ridiculous. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that's probably the only yes. time I get like, ah.
Yeah.
We know exactly what you mean.
All the time.
That is
you're
every
like,
single day.
You're cheers in me right now. Yeah. You're like, yes, we got, we're like clinking our glasses of wine.
We're like, moderation, glasses. Eat some vegetables.
Right.
Calm down.
Sleep.
Totally.
8 hours every night.
Like, go take a nap.
Right. Yeah.
That's basically the science summed up. Like, just,
yeah. But that's why I love your articles, because you break it down. You're like, here's the science. Do what you want. And you always phrase that at the end. It's like, but do whatever works for you. And I think that that is excellent advice, because, yeah, the science is there, and then there is anecdotal evidence, and you kind of just have to do whatever is right for you. And I know you mentioned the fads. Can you tell us, like, what are some of the most annoying or ridiculous fads that you've come across recently?
Well, okay, so I'd say one thing that's been, and I don't know why lately, it's kind of gotten me a little like, I don't know. Now I feel like not nice saying this. I don't know why. I'm such a dork.
This is a safe space.
Like, I would say like some of the Instagram food pictures are driving me a little crazy.
Oh my God. Yes.
I love looking at a lot of decadent things. Like, this was actually funny. I was sitting there. I was after, with one of the women on my team, I was sitting there and I was looking at the flower shop cakes explode. And so she actually taped me doing it. She's like, are you really looking at all the flower shop cakes explode? I'm like, it's so satisfying. And I love these cakes. So I actually love looking at some of the food, even if it's not healthy. But what I think drives me crazy is some of the food that's put on there in the name of health, or on sort of what are supposed to be healthy sites or, you know, posts, and they are beyond decadent. So it's like the stack of 8 pancakes yes. with, you know, with 5 different drizzles of almond butter and organic peanut butter and coconut, you know, whatever butter and this butter and all of that might be healthy foods, but in this massive stack, and it's like, oh, good morning. Like you're not eating that.
No, you're not. Right. Yeah.
It's like, you're like, yes. Guess what? Peanut drizzle does really well for likes. I'm going to drizzle more peanut butter. And I'm like, and I get it, and it looks yummy, but it's more when it's done in the name of, this is my super healthy cacao, you know, matcha, coconut flour, whatever pancakes. And I'm like, there is no way anybody's eating that.
Right.
Like, it's just, I don't know. And I don't know. And again, it's okay if you're not eating that. And it's just for show, like that's even okay. Except for when it's done in the name of, this is my really healthy, whatever. I don't know. That drives me crazy lately.
Right. Or like the 15 pounds of nice cream. Like, I've seen that where it's like, oh, it's banana ice cream, but like the portion is literally like,
there's like a blender
like
full of it.
Yeah. Cups, which is cool, I guess. But what, like, are you
like
really?
You see it like that one time yeah. or something, but then you see it over and over and over, and you're like, okay, seriously? The 20 pancakes on the plate or the 10 pounds of ice cream, have, like, we gotta go.
That's so funny because we went to a session that touched on that at Fenty at the nutrition conference. Yeah. And they were talking about how it's really important that we present realism in the images that we create, because there's like such a disconnect, even with the perfect images, how it's like this perfect peanut butter sandwich or like this perfect Buddha bowl or whatever. And then it's like people don't eat like that, and they think that they do have to eat like that to be healthier. And it's like then they just become discouraged.
Totally. That's actually a really interesting point. Yeah, that's a really interesting point that, you know, I actually haven't talked a lot about that, about how people, you know, it can actually be like demotivating,
yeah.
you know, because it's like, wait, my salads don't look like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's actually a really, really good point. I mean, on the flip side, I think, listen, if it's your business to and it's, you know, your content and the images are part of your business, I don't fault people for having beautiful images. Don't get me wrong. I think that's absolutely okay. But I think back to what you were just saying, it's like the content or the, you know, the text that goes along with it should be representative of sort of what it is.
Exactly.
As opposed to this is my healthy morning breakfast.
Yeah, like finding a balance with making it really pretty, but also like, okay, guys, this is actually something that I'm going to eat and that it didn't take me 12 hours to prop, you know?
Exactly. Stylized. Yeah, no, really, really good point. So that's something. I'm trying to think of something else. I'll give you one more, and this isn't specific to the thing. It's more of the broader topic of it. So I'm going to preface it with that. But the celery juice thing lately has been getting me a little crazy, but it's not because I think, not because I would never celery juice, and not because I think celery juice isn't great. I think it probably has a lot. It does have a lot of good benefits. Celery actually has a lot of nutrients in it, unlike many people think, but it's the, what happens when people are like, I'm celery juicing, I'm celery juicing, I'm celery juicing. And then it's like, everybody's like, oh my God, I have to celery juice. I have to celery juice. And all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I can't use my, I can't do my regular juicing anymore. And I guess the part that bothers me is not the trying something new that could be, that might be good for you. It's the pressure. Like, okay, so like, I have to do this. It's like adding that pressure in where like, you know what, if you just skipped your bag of M&Ms every afternoon, you like wouldn't even need to probably worry as much about having the celery versus just like the regular, you know, green spinach at lunch. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's also, so it's that pressure feeling that people sometimes feel like that they have to be doing that. But also, but aside from that, it's the, I think people sometimes think it's like, it's more magical than it is, whether it's, you know, the celery juice, whether it's coconut oil, whatever it is, like, and those are all things again that I even like. It's the people make them into things that, I think that the consumers soak it up in a way that it's like, oh my God, this is magical. And really, you know, it's, you don't have to jump on every one of those bandwagons to be healthy. You know, like I actually once wrote a blog that said, I guess this is more of the point. Like I once wrote this blog that said, that was called, what is it called? Oh, I think I hate kombucha, which by the way, I now actually like.
I actually hate kombucha.
I like it. It's funny. Yeah.
But at the time I didn't. And the point was, I guess is what I'm trying to say now is that you don't have to jump on every one of these things in order to be healthy. And you are not going to be a perfectly healthy person if you don't do all of these different new trends. If you want to try something and it works into your lifestyle and it makes you feel good and it's healthy, great. But you could never have a celery juice your entire life and be the absolute healthiest you will ever be without even ever having that. Same goes for a kombucha. I feel like consumers get the wrong message about some of these trends. And that's, I think, what I guess it's that bigger issue that makes me, I don't want to say crazy or upset, but just, you know, makes me think.
We could not agree more, and we are the same. We're all about practicality, what works well for you. You don't have to jump on the matcha, the spirulina, every other thing. You know, like maybe if you have access and you like those things, that's great, but you don't have to do it. So Carrie, you have so much going on. You're super, it seems like at least, like you're super busy. You have these different programs. You're always on TV. You're always writing articles. Can you talk about what a typical day looks like for you?
Okay. So a typical day, so the mornings are always really pretty consistent for the most part. The rest of the day is, you know, sometimes a little bit all over, but I'll give you a typical day. I generally get up at 5 or 5:30, usually at the latest, somewhere between 5 and 5:30. I love my morning time. It's just, it's always been my time. Even when I was in college, I didn't get up this early, but I was an early riser. So I get up, I have coffee. I love my organic coffee at home. I have 2 cups of coffee. Sometimes I have a scoop of almond butter if I wake up really hungry, and then take my supplements, or I'll wait to have breakfast. But sometimes I'll just even, that'll be like my little pre-breakfast if I'm really starving. Sometimes I wake up really hungry. Then I will do a meditation. I'll do a meditation, or I'll listen to something spiritual or something like that. But generally it's 15 minutes of just listening to something calming, inspiring, spiritual, or a meditation. Then I run through emails and I sort of just like do like a quick run through. I look at my stats from my site from the day before. I look through my schedule for the day and just make sure there's nothing that I need to, you know, reschedule, you know, push 15 minutes, anything like that. I look through the kids' schedule. Is there anything I need to remember, you know, to call this, you know, call a tutor, you know, pick up this, you know, something for bake sale at school or, you know, whatever, this ingredients or whatever, or something. I always just make sure and then I add those things to the calendar, make sure I sort of have the day set. Then at 6:30, I wake up my son and then I wake up my daughter at 7. And during that time, so from 6:30 to about 8 for that hour and a half, I am on full kid duty. A normal, just let's say typical day, I'll go to the office, but I will either, you know, my days could be going to the office, or it could be, you know, going to a meeting downtown first. It could be doing a shoot in my kitchen. So, I mean, yesterday I went to, my first thing was I went to Rachel Ray, and then from Rachel Ray, I had a meeting in the meatpacking district, and I went there. I met with a brand, and then I had a call with my financial team, like my accountant and bookkeeper. And so I actually did that from Skype at home. So then I was working from home, and then that was already, by then it was about 5 o'clock. So anyway, so yeah, the days can be different. They can be office, they can be meetings out, they can be doing media, they can be doing shoots. So they're kind of all over. I mean, Monday I was in LA for the day. So the days are really all over. The mornings are very consistent. And then I would say from about 4:35 on, unless I have a later meeting, I am really back on kid duty, making dinner. And then usually after dinner, I usually get back on email to check things out for about, you know, 45 minutes, an hour. And if I have something like a deadline or a bigger project I'm working on, you know, I could get back on the computer for a couple hours while my kids are also doing, you know, their homework. So I cut the day earlier, and sometimes I make up the time later and sometimes I don't.
I love that you also make time for self-care, because you're like, okay, I meditate, I work out. Like, it sounds like these things are non-negotiable. I spend time with my family, I meal prep, I cook. Like, that's so great that you're able to incorporate it, because especially with entrepreneurs, that usually takes a back seat. So I was wondering, especially for new dietitians, like, what are some top pieces of advice when starting a business that you've learned?
I think that for new dietitians and new entrepreneurs out there, I think that, you know, I contradict myself when I'm saying this, but I'm not. I actually mean both. You have to set certain boundaries, and you have to take care of yourself, because you will make yourself sick and worn out. And more so, you won't be inspired, and you won't be able to be creative and to think well and to come up with great ideas without giving yourself space and time to but also giving yourself just that time to take care of yourself. I guess what I'm saying is, when you don't slow down, you end up going a lot slower. Like, when you're going, you actually end up going slower. You need to take that time to take care of yourself, and you need to take that time to just have those quiet moments, whether it's meditating, whether it's sitting down, you know, for that hour lunch, just sitting quietly eating your kale salad instead of doing work while you're eating it. Because if you don't take those quiet moments and you don't slow down and you don't take care of yourself, like I said, you're going to get sick and you're not going to be as creative and as productive. So that is, you know, hugely important. On the flip side, I will say, if you are an entrepreneur and you really want to do great, it's not just all, I always say this, I mean, it's not just, you know, unicorns, Shavasana, and, you know, journaling. Like, I feel like there's also people out there that make it sound like, you know, like, I think there's health bloggers out there that make it look like, you know, just journal and do your yoga.
Living right. My best life
all
that I love.
Be great. And you're going to just achieve all of that just by your journaling and thinking good thoughts. And you know what? I'm not mocking that at all, by the way, in the sense, like, I'm not, well, I kind of am there, but I'm not, like, I say, I do those things too. I do all that. And I love all of that. But if you're going to be an entrepreneur and grow a business, you got to work your ass off.
So true.
You can't just, and you have to take certain opportunities, and you have to, and you're going to be tired sometimes, and you're going to pull really, you're going to get up at 4 a.m. sometimes, and you're going to stay up till 3 a.m. sometimes. And you're going to, you know, have weeks where you feel like you look back and you're like, did I shower? And you're going to have 2 weeks that go by, and you're going to have missed workouts, and you're going to, you know, you're going to be, even if you're a dietitian, you're still going to, you know, eat the burger and fries because you're just really worn out and that's what your boyfriend's eating and you just feel like eating that too and not thinking about it. And like, that's all okay. Like, all of those things are going to happen, but you have to be able to, like, if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to make your own business happen, like, you have to be willing to, you know, take that opportunity that's going to cause you to, you know, have to, you know, have two late nights and, you know, and do these things and stress yourself out and, well, maybe you don't have to stress yourself out doing it, but it sounds like I'm contradicting myself with take the boundaries and taking the time and, you know, also being like that. I think it's the balancing of those two things. I think the regular day to day and the week by week, you have to have certain boundaries and certain times you take care of yourself while working hard. You have to be open to knowing that opportunities might come up and there might be times where you have to go all out and you might not be taking care of yourself as well. And then you can regroup and that's totally okay.
Oh, you're speaking so much. We're like nodding to each other because everything you're saying resonates so much and we can totally relate as entrepreneurs. I think it is both sides. Like the on the one hand, you are going to work really hard and there are going to be times when things don't work out perfectly. Like when we first filmed, when we first started our Food Heaven brand, we actually recorded our first episode. We spent hours and hours and hours recording this episode or filming this episode of our show at the time. And we realized that we didn't have the microphone turned on. And like, literally, it was like the whole day. We had like, it was bad. And so, but I feel like that's the kind of stuff that you go through where it's like, okay, so are we really serious? Okay, then we have to like do this all over again and spend 8 hours another day figuring it out. But on the other hand, I think, you know, as you do this for a little bit longer, I think you have to get really good, which I'm working on, the art of just saying no and realizing like what your bandwidth actually is and what actually brings you joy and being comfortable with like turning things down that you may, you know, have not done in the past. So that speaks to us so much.
I mean, you are so right on with the saying no. I totally agree with you. And, you know, back to like what I was saying with opportunities, I think I'm so glad you brought up that point because, yeah, there are those opportunities and there are those, whether it's an opportunity or whether it's a time like you're recording, you know, whatever it is, there's those situations that come up that you, you know, you just, you gotta dig into. But on the other hand, you are 100% right. You have to know what's worth it and not worth it. And I think that's what's hard at the beginning. At the beginning, you feel like you can't say no to anything. And I do think that that gets easier as you grow a business and as you just get older and have more experience with things, knowing what seems worth it and what seems not, or what seems, you know, okay, but I really, you know, I don't have that time, or what, you know, what seems amazing and incredible, but you know what? Life just can't allow that to happen right now. I just don't have the bandwidth. I think you're totally spot on with that. Such a good point. It's so much easier for me to say no now than it was, I mean, years ago.
Yeah, totally. So where can people learn more about all of the incredible work that you're doing?
Yeah, well, I guess follow us on Instagram for sure, Nutritious Life Official, and then check out nutritiouslife.com, of course. Yeah, and then check out at nutritiouslife.com. You can check out the Nutritious Life Studio, which is our education platform. And so which is, you know, as you ladies know, is geared towards wellness professionals. So I'm sure lots of people listening might be interested in that. And yeah, check us out there. Thank you, ladies, so much. You're awesome.
Thank you. Oh, my God. This was great. We learned so much. And yeah, I think dietitians and non-dietitians alike, they're going to find this super useful. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We're so excited about everything that you're going to be doing and all the things you're doing now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. And I cannot wait to catch up with both of you again very soon.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carrie. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Food Heaven Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please do us a huge favor and leave us a review on iTunes right now, because the more reviews we get, the higher we're ranked in iTunes, which means that more people get to listen to our episodes. Listen up to this listener review. I love the way these ladies deliver much needed information and resources on nutrition, organic living, and plant-based eating. The topics are timely and the info is easy to digest. Wendy and Jess have such good energy and they break down what I need to know into actionable steps. I love that. Thank you so much, whoever you are, for leaving that amazing review. If you have the time, please take 2 seconds, hop on, and drop some stars and love.
Also, make sure to connect with your girls. We're online at Instagram. We're at Food Heaven Show. Also, Twitter at Food Heaven Show. And we are at Food Heaven Made Easy on Facebook. And our podcast is released every Wednesday. In each episode, we cover tips and tricks for making lifelong, sustainable, healthy living changes to upgrade your diet and health. We also interview leading experts in the field of health and nutrition to pick their brains on how you can cultivate a healthy life that
that you love. We hope you enjoyed this episode and we'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.